Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
I want to get right into our series we've been on most of this year, Praying Bold Prayers. We've got a theme verse we're asking you to say out loud with us every week. I want to ask you to say it out loud with me again this morning, loudly and proudly, Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 16. Are you ready? Say, uh-huh. All right, you're ready this morning. All right, are you smart? Get set, let's go. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive His mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. This morning I want to talk about one more dynamic of how to pray bold prayers. And every week I've been kind of giving you a little short lesson from Hebrews chapter 4. And part of that lesson is that our God is a gracious God. I want to ask you to say this out loud this morning. My God. Let's say it again. My God. Not the guys down the street, right? My God is a gracious God. Say it again. My God is a gracious God. Let's say it again until you believe it. My God is a gracious God. Amen. Your God is not a stingy God. He's not a withholding God. He's not a God playing hide and seek with His promises or His blessings to you. Your God is madly in love with you. He loves, He longs to give good gifts to His children. And this morning, we're going to talk about how can we connect to the graciousness of the God we serve. See, when I was a kid, there was a rule in our house, and especially when it came to extracurricular activities, and here was the rule. We don't quit. Your band director may be a jerk, but we don't quit. Right? Your baseball coach may not be that intelligent, but you're not going to quit. Your teammates might be whatever, but we're not going to quit. If you want to quit, you can wait till the end of the season and then you quit, but we are not going to be quitters. Anyone else know what I'm talking about this morning? We don't quit. So that was kind of drilled in my life as a kid. I kind of still harbor a lot of that theology in my brain. But there's one area where I'll just be honest with you this morning. Maybe I shouldn't admit this. There's one area we're going to talk about this morning where I have been guilty of quitting too soon. And I'll just tell you what the area is. It's this area right here. Praying bold prayers. I want to talk to you this morning about not quitting, praying bold prayers. Listen to what Jesus said in Luke chapter 18, verse number 1. Then Jesus told His disciples a parable. He told them a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Here's the parable. In a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with this plea, "Grant me justice against my adversary." For some time he refused, but he finally said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me." And the Lord said, "Listen to what this unjust judge says. And will God not bring about justice for His chosen ones who cry out to Him day and night? Will He keep putting them off? I tell you, He will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth?" Let's pray. Father, we love You. We thank You for this word. We thank You that Your word never returns void. It always goes forward and accomplishes the work You meant for it to accomplish. And I pray this morning the word will work. Let the word work in me. Let the word work in every person watching online or sitting in the room today. And let us respond to the word of God this morning. Help me to speak what You want spoken. Help us to hear what the Spirit of God wants us to hear. And we'll all rejoice when we're done, knowing that we've heard the voice of God this morning. And we'll give You thanks. Everybody in the room said amen. Big lesson right out of the gate. Jesus says, always pray and don't give up. And to emphasize the greatness of our need to always pray and to never give up, Jesus draws this contrast in His language. Jesus is not saying, let me say this real quick in case you read something and thought something, Jesus is not saying that God is like an unjust judge. Let me understand that this morning. Jesus is not saying our Heavenly Father is like someone you have to wear down in order to get something out of him. He's not someone that doesn't care for us. He's not someone that's unconcerned about us. No, Jesus, he paints for us the picture of a guy who is polar opposite of the God that we serve. He's trying to contrast how different our God is from this unjust judge, and hoping to build our faith, build our motivation, build our determination to be people that always pray and never give up. Or here's another translation, says it this way, that we should always pray and never lose heart. How many would say sometimes when you're praying for something, it's easy to lose heart? Right. I love what Megan said. We didn't plan that this morning, but Megan said this morning in worship how sometimes we have our victory defined a certain way, and when the victory doesn't form the way we have been telling God it has to form, we lose heart. But friends, can I tell you, God can actually work greater victories in your life than you can imagine. So don't get confused, don't get disheartened when he begins to work things together for your good that's differently than what you pictured. It's still good when it's according to his plan. That's why 1 Thessalonians says to pray always, but to pray or to rejoice always, and to pray without ceasing. Now, this message is not it's not a tip for you to go tomorrow and quit your job and tell your boss, sorry, I got to quit my job because I got to go home and I got to spend 24 hours a day in the closet on my knees praying. It's not what it means to pray without ceasing. It's not what it means to pray and then never give up. What he is talking about is we have to learn how to practice the presence of God, how to live in a current state of faith and belief that God is with me and God is working on my behalf and God is with me in what I'm going through. And you may be wondering, well, Pastor, why would God want me to be a person of prayer? I mean, I've heard people say things like this. Well, you know, I'm not really sure if my prayer does any good. I don't feel like I'm very good at my prayer. My prayer doesn't sound that great. Or maybe you feel like, you know, maybe God's already made up his mind about my circumstance, so why pray? Or maybe you thought, you know, other people are better at praying. I hear them pray, and, you know, why would God want me to pray? I'll tell you why God wants you to pray, because your prayer changes things. And Jesus said you should always pray and never give up. I want to tell you my sermon in a sentence this morning. It's kind of an equation. Here it is this morning. Prayer plus time equals transformation. Prayer plus time equals transformation. Transformation of what? Prayer plus time, sometimes it equals a transformation in your circumstances. Prayer plus time changes circumstances you could have never changed on your own. Sometimes prayer plus time equals a transformation in your life. Your life changes in a way it would have never changed if you hadn't continued to pray over a span of time. Sometimes prayer plus time equals a transformation in your faith. All of a sudden you begin to be a person of faith. You begin to be solid about things you used to be shaky about, and it's not because you prayed about it one time, it's because you prayed and you didn't lose heart, and the things that used to be shaky in your life, now they're solid because you prayed over time. See, when we fail to pray, here's what's happening. We're robbing ourselves of a reality that God wants to bring to completion in your life and mine. I've wondered this. I wonder what blessing have I missed out on because I stopped praying too soon. I wonder what else could have been healed if I wouldn't have stopped believing for healing so soon. I wonder what miracles I could have seen if I would have just prayed one more time. I wonder what life changes I could experience or someone else could experience. I wonder what legacy we're failing to reproduce when we pray about something one time instead of praying it and praying it again. We've got to be people who don't just pray, but we got to be people that pray and don't lose heart. Let me just ask you this question. Are there needs in your life you've given up praying about? Are there people in your life that you've stopped praying for? People you've thought, well, I guess God just can't reach them. I guess they'll never change. I guess they'll never get their act together. Are there dreams in your life that you've decided they're too far away? My word to you is this morning, pray and don't lose heart. And just researching, I was still in the men's prayer group this morning, just researching for this sermon the last few weeks, I began to research this scripture, and I found out that there's a lot of people who have written articles, horrible articles, and here's what their article starts with: how to know when you should stop believing God. What a horrible title. But yet there's people that live their life that way. Well, I prayed about it and it didn't happen, so I should just give up. But friends, if you'll just open up the New Testament Word of God this afternoon when you get home, you're going to discover there is no place in the Word of God where He says once you've prayed about something a certain amount of time, just give up on it because it's too late for God to intervene. But what you will find over and over again is when people say it's too late, it's too far gone, Jesus shows up and He makes a difference. Who are we to say that it's too late for God to change someone? Who are we to say it's too late for God to change my heart or someone else's life? So prayer plus time, it expresses something. It expresses that it's never too late for God. It expresses that nothing's too difficult for God. It expresses that I have faith beyond what I see. How many times will we sing the song, I'm not going to live by what I see? But yet we leave church and then we pray in accordance of what we see. When Jesus said we ought to always pray and not lose heart. So how can I pray and not give up? Because I understand it's a big request. It's something I've struggled with myself. And so here's what the Lord's been teaching me from this passage. Number one, if we're going to pray and not give up, you have to believe that God is a just God. In a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. He wasn't concerned about justice. He was concerned about just getting along. And the judge that Jesus is describing, it's not some Jewish leader in their tribe. As a matter of fact, Bible history teaches us that the Jewish people that Jesus would have been speaking to, if they had problems, if they needed judgment, they would go to the elders of their community who were tied to their community, who lived among them, who cared for them, and that's where they would go to get their issues solved. But Jesus is referring to an unjust, an unconnected judge. Probably in their mindset, there was people like this who was presented among them by the Roman government. People who were disconnected. They were just getting paid to listen to these problems. They didn't care about the results they gave because they weren't connected to God's people. They were paid by someone else. And Jesus says, just think about that unjust God, that unjust judge, and understand that our God is not like that. He always does what is right. Deuteronomy chapter 32 says, He is the rock and His works are perfect and all of His ways are just. He's a faithful God who does no wrong. Upright and just is He. That's the God we serve. You know, I was reading an article several months ago. It's been a while ago. And how many of you are familiar with the term hangry? How many believe that hanger is a real thing? Anybody? Right? You know, I've got my kids. Sometimes my kids, I'm pretty sure they're just hangry. They're not trying to be mean. They're just hangry. You feed them, they're better. Now, I was reading this article that had done a study about judges in America. And it was noted that judges give harsher sentences the hour before lunchtime. And that's scary. The sentences are longer in the hour before lunchtime. So if you have an upcoming court case, petition your lawyer to move it to after lunch or at 8 a.m. because it'll go better for you. Aren't you glad we serve a God who isn't moody? We serve a God who is not unjust. He does not get angry. He does not get angry with you because of what's going on in his life. He is not like a human judge. He is just in all of his ways. Jesus is painting a picture. He's saying that if we will persist, if this widow can persist and get justice from an unjust judge, how much more can we get justice from a God who loves us and cares for us and gave his only son for us? That's the God we're coming to. He's the God who's perfect in all his ways. Number two, he goes on to say that God cares for you. How am I going to get through circumstances? How am I going to pray without giving up? You have to remember that God loves you. This judge Jesus talks about, right? He's the polar opposite of the Heavenly Father. This judge neither feared God nor cared what people thought. How many understand that God cares about you? Right? He cares about you. He cares for you. He loves you. There's been times in my life where I was praying for someone, praying for a friend, a family member, praying for their healing, praying for their deliverance, praying for things to happen in their life, and I would pray for them and nothing would change for them. Sometimes I would pray for them and life would get worse for them instead of better for them. And after that goes on for a while, you see that you're praying and you're praying, and all of a sudden, instead of things getting better, they're getting worse. How many understand that can make you lose heart, right? So like Jesus said, pray always and don't lose heart. Pray always and don't give up. And then there's moments when that would go on in my life personally. I know you're more spiritual than I am, but I just get downright mad at God. And I would start saying things like this: God, don't you see who they are? Don't you see what a good person they are? God, don't you see how much they love you? And then I go into this kind of prayer. God, heal them. Don't you see how much I love them? Don't you see how much they mean to me? Don't you see how much I care for them? In the moments of my life where I've said those type of prayers, the Lord always tells me the same thing. But I love them more than you do. God cares for them more than you do. I don't know what person it is you're praying for today that maybe you're disheartened. You're wondering, does God love them? Friends, God's love for them, as hard as it is for to imagine, God loves them more than you do. He's their creator. He's their father. And 1 Peter chapter 5 says that we can cast all of our cares upon him because he cares for us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. There's a scripture in Matthew chapter 6 says that God knows, your heavenly Father knows exactly what you need before you ask. And sometimes I read that scripture and I think, well, of course God knows what we need before we ask. I mean, he's God. He's omnipotent. He knows everything. But that scripture is not just a testimony to God knowing everything. It's also a testament about God caring for everything. He is so involved in the cares and the concerns of your life. He is so attentive to what you're going through today that he knows what you're going to ask before you even ask him, because he knows how you feel. He knows how you're struggling. He knows what you're wondering. He knows what you're feeling. He knows how you're hurting. He knows what you're going through, and he knows what you're going to go through. He knows what you have need of because he is with you. He cares for you. Don't believe for a moment that God does not care for you. Don't believe for a moment Jesus does not love you. Don't believe for a moment that when you cry yourself asleep in prayer that he is not there with you. Friends, God loves you. He cares for you. He feels what you feel, and he wants to make a difference in you. The victory he brings, it may not be the victory you've demanded, but it will bring victory to your life if you'll trust him, if you'll pray, and don't lose hope. He's your heavenly Father. Many of you know Megan and I were youth pastors probably about 15, 16 years of our ministry. And I know you look at me, you think, There's no way he's old enough to have been a youth pastor for 15 years. And I understand that. Thank you for the compliment. But one of the struggles that I found as a youth pastor was this. Someone told me this, like when I was first getting started, then I noticed it. Is that for young people especially, but I'm not sure if it's just for young people. Young people who had a good earthly father have an easier time connecting to God, their heavenly father, because it's like their earthly father kind of paved the way to them. Other people, their earthly father was maybe absent, or maybe their earthly father was abusive. Maybe their earthly father was selfish or uncaring. And for those people, their earthly father kind of becomes a hurdle they have to get over to believe that their heavenly father really loves for them and really cares for them. I want to tell you this morning, no matter what your experience has been, your heavenly father is good. Your heavenly father is a healer, not an abuser. Your heavenly father will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will be with you no matter what life throws your way. He's a good father. He's just in all of his ways, and he is madly in love with you. Number three, you realize that God is working on your behalf. Look at verse number 7. It's a question that has, it's one of those obvious answers. It's a rhetorical question. And will God not bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? And the implied answer is this: no. He even goes on in detail and says he will act quickly on their behalf. There's a promise in this. He said, don't lose heart, but instead pray. Now I'm about to shatter some of your thoughts in just a moment. And when I say this statement, some of you are going to say, that's wrong. But just stick with me. I'm becoming convinced there is no delay in God's response to our prayer. Only our perceived delay. See, waiting on your part does not equal an inaction or hesitation on God's part. Luke chapter 18, verse number 8 says, I tell you, he will see that they get justice. And here's the word: quickly. Quickly. This judge kept putting off the request of this widow. But God, Jesus says, he will answer quickly. Now, I will tell you this: quickly doesn't always feel quickly. Right? I preached a Christmas series one time. One of the messages was simply this: suddenly doesn't always seem suddenly. But the moment you pray, listen to Daniel chapter 10. Angel comes to Daniel. Daniel, don't be afraid. Since the first day that you set your mind on understanding and getting rid of your pride before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your word. God began to send an angel the moment David first prayed. Now, there was a waiting factor on Daniel's time, and you can research that more on why it took that angel a little bit to get there. There's a waiting factor on when he prayed and when the answer arrived, but that doesn't mean God wasn't doing anything. Just because you don't see anything working doesn't mean that God's not working. Have you ever seen, I got to be careful my vocabulary here, I'm going to ask for your grace if I step in something, but here we go. Have you ever seen a lady who was pregnant, but you can tell she was pregnant? Right? There's been times when someone's told me, yeah, I'm whatever, 3 months pregnant, 4 months pregnant, and I'm like, really? I had no idea. Which, by the way, that's a good thing to say, no matter if you knew or not. That's just a good thing to say, guys. But what that is a picture of is that sometimes there's things happening that you can't see happen, right? There's things being birthed. There's things being developed. There's ways that God is working even when you don't see it working. So listen, friends, your prayers are connecting you to the activity of God, even when you don't see any activity from God. That's why Galatians chapter 6 says, "Let us not become weary in well-doing, for at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we don't give up." Number four, remember, how can I pray and not give up? How can I pray and not lose heart? Here's the fourth way. Remember, you're a chosen child of God. Jesus tells the parable, which basically means Jesus makes up a story. And so Jesus could have made up this story however he wanted to. He could have said, there was a young man who needed justice and went to an unjust God, unjust judge. He could have said, there was this nice married couple who needed intervention on their behalf, so they went to an unjust judge. But instead, Jesus says there was a widow. Why did Jesus paint the story with a widow? I'll tell you why. Because a widow was, in Jesus' day, one of the most marginalized members of the community. Oftentimes, if they didn't have a son to support them, they had really no rights, no one to come to their defense. To be a widow was a horrible plight. And God, just as God says, just as Jesus says, my heavenly Father is not like this unjust God. Jesus is also painting us in the picture. And he's saying, you are not like this helpless, unconnected widow. You are a chosen son and daughter of God. You are his. I like what W.W. Worsby said. He said, this widow had no lawyer, but we have a high priest. She had no promise, but we have a Bible filled with promises we can claim. She was an outsider, but we are the children of God. How can I pray and not give up? I can pray and not be give up because I am a chosen child of God. I'm not calling upon a stranger. I'm calling my Heavenly Father who welcomes me every time I come. Every time I come. I was talking this week about how I'm just telling you, buy me a t-shirt, I'll wear it. I am a sucker for my girls. I mean, when they say, Dad, it's, well, you know, out comes the wallet. What you want? Right? They're my girls. They're mine. I think your Heavenly Father, he longs. You're his chosen son or daughter. And don't give up this morning because your prayer is your continued connection to God. Jesus said, I tell you, he'll help. He will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Jesus also paints a picture of this praying and not giving up as a picture of faith, how we stay connected to God. How many would say that sometimes in life you find yourself fighting things you don't have the strength for? Going through things that are over your head or above your education. You don't know how to deal with them. You know, I've noticed here, if you go in a different atmosphere on planet Earth than what you're accustomed to, you got to have some oxygen to help you survive. Right? If you want to go scuba diving, you got to put on a mask. You got to put some oxygen on you because you're not going to survive the depths of that water on your own. If you want to go climb Mount Everest, you need the same thing. To survive the lows of life and the highs of life, you need a source beyond yourself. You know what prayer is? Prayer is oxygen to your spirit. When you feel like you're in the deepest part of life, or even if you feel like you're in the highest part of life, when things are over your head, when things are out of your grasp, prayer keeps us connected to God. The widow in Jesus' day definitely knew how to feel disconnected. But remember, He's your helper. He's your strength. I want to ask you to bow your heads this morning as we close in prayer. I want to ask you, are you staying in prayer? Are you staying in faith? Are you praying and then giving up? Did you start praying and have you since lost heart? I want to remind you, you have a resource others don't have. I want to remind you, they have help others don't have. I want to remind you, you have a source of victory. Even when everything else is screaming defeat, God can bring peace out of chaos. God can bring healing out of the most hurtful seasons of your life. And God can take your past, no matter how broken it is, and give you a solid future, a solid foundation. This morning with your heads bowed, it's kind of a, might be a little bit more personal question than normal, but I just want to ask you, in just a moment, to raise your hand if this is true for you. You say, Pastor, there's prayers I've given up on. Maybe those prayers represent a dream God put in your heart. Maybe it represents people you've given up on. Maybe it represents a circumstance that you can't change personally. And so since you can't change it personally, you just abandoned everything. You just stopped calling out to God. You stopped reaching out for help. And I would challenge you, those are the moments you need to reach out the most, to pray and not lose heart. You say, Pastor, I've lost heart with people, I've lost heart with my own circumstances, I've lost heart with the things around me, and today I need prayer personally, and I also need to make a commitment to pray and not lose heart, because I've been losing heart. Would you lift a hand real quick? That's me, Pastor, pray for me real quick. Amen, 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 amen. 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 There is no issue you're facing that God is unaware of. I want to say that again. There's no pain you're facing that Jesus has not felt. And He said, my people should always pray and not lose heart. And it is that prayer that really keeps us from losing heart. It's the presence of God that we engage when we pray that keeps us from walking away from His peace and His strength that He has for us. So lift your hand this morning. I want to pray for you right now. Father, I pray for my friends across this room today. Lord, they are facing circumstances that are diverse in their need, diverse in the circumstance. Lord, some of them is physical struggles. Some of them is financial impossibilities. Other of them, Lord, it might be relational hurts and pains that they can't get over. But Father, You know all about it. Lord, You know You engaged all of those things, and You're still engaging them today. You engage them every time we bring them to You in prayer. So I pray right now. First off, God, I pray for healing. I pray for those who have been downcast. I pray for those who have lost heart. I pray for them. It just seems like their strength has just been drained out of them. But Father, I pray for them because You said that when we're at the weakest, You are making room for Your strength. We're making room for Your help. You're making room for Your healing. So I pray right now in the midst of their lack that they would discover the healing of the God they serve. I pray right now where they have been, Lord, disheartened. They've been so lost. God, I pray You would just bring refuge to them, bring strength to them, bring victory to them. And Lord, where it seems like there has been no activity, gently remind them today that You are working on their behalf, that You are working in ways that they Maybe they can see it, but you're also working in ways they can't see it. So God, we're going to do our part. Our part is simply this, to pray and to not give up. Father, that in itself is a bold prayer. But God, we believe that our prayer, and not just our prayer in one time, but our prayer plus praying over time is going to bring transformation to our life. It's going to bring transformation to our living. It's going to bring transformation to our faith and to our heart. And we just pray for that today. We pray that we experience you more and more. And I pray the help of God over your people today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Would you give the Lord a hand clap for his word today? We love you, Lord. God bless.
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.